everyone was talking about it on social media last night, and I think, like most, when you saw the headline for the first time, you immediately had to go to CNN or Entertainment Weekly or something to say this can't be true.
Right.
With the passing of Robin Williams. And it came out yesterday that he unfortunately committed suicide. And as I was watching CNN throughout most of the day, there were stories about how he battled alcoholism and depression, and he had gone to rehab, and it was a constant battle for him throughout most of his life to sort of see the light and to pull himself up from that darkness that just wanted to sort of overtake him. Now, for me personally, it brought back memories of my cousin who committed suicide a couple of years ago, and how he seemed like the happiest person on the earth. I mean, he was charismatic, he was great. And so when all of a sudden we get the phone call that he's committed suicide, we all thought, how could this be? Like, this person that we that brings so much joy. And that's what everyone's been saying about Robin Williams. How could someone that is so funny and so full of life not see the positive and the light that they brought to the world? Now, we have Dr. Wendy Rice, our resident psychologist, on the phone. Dr. Rice, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you, Miguel?
Wonderful. Now, I think we're all just, it's taken everyone with such fervor over Robin Williams. Can you help us sort of understand or walk us through what it's like for someone dealing with depression?
I can. I have dealt with depression myself, so I can take you through it a little bit as a psychologist and as a person who has dealt with it. Robin Williams' situation was a little bit unique because he had bipolar disorder. So he not only suffered from depression, but he also had incredible highs. And so that's an important thing to, you know, be aware of, that, you know, mood can bring you down to the depths and up to the top of the world. And so when you're feeling the downs of the depression, it's a brain disease. It's a brain disorder. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while there are things that we can do to try to help ourselves, it's an uphill climb because we're dealing with neurochemistry.
Right.
And there's a voice inside your head that just tells you lies, not in a psychotic hearing voices way, you know, but the voice inside of you takes away your self-confidence, takes away your self-esteem, and makes you really believe that you have nothing to offer the world and that, you know, and that it's not going to get any better.
Now, when you say that, Dr. Rice, you know, I always have down times, and I always, my mantra for life is, you know what, if I'm feeling bad, I'm going to give myself a day or two. I'm going to let myself wallow around in that sadness, and then I'm going to choose to pick myself and lift myself up out of that. How is that different from people dealing with depression? So when you see a friend that's sad and we say, well, just give yourself a day and then you'll feel better, what's going through their mind at that point?
Well, you know, depression isn't a day or two. Depression is at least 2 weeks.
Oh.
So it's having that feeling for a duration, a longer amount of time. And your mantra and your way of living is a healthy one, and you don't have depression. And so you don't get overwhelmed by it in the same way, and you don't get stuck in it in the same way that somebody who has depression does.
Now, someone like Robin Williams, who I'm sure on the surface just seemed to just be, I mean, everyone, all those celebrities with their tweets saying he brought so much joy to the world, what signs can you look for in someone who seems to have it all? He had a career, he had money, he had fame, he had fortune, he had love and support. How do you spot that in someone?
No, well, and how do you spot the signs of depression, and how do you see the spots of suicide?
Yeah.
The signs of suicide is, you know, a whole different situation.
Right.
You know, depression is, you know, when a person just really doesn't seem to be themselves, they're avoiding social contact, they're saying negative things about themselves, they seem sort of flat, you know, like, you know, their emotion and their assets, you know, it's sort of like, I can tell you're feeling down. when maybe they're having change in sleep patterns, or they're losing weight, or they're gaining weight, if they're not taking as good care of themselves as they used to. And certainly the signs of suicide often come with giving away prized possessions, talking about, you know, death, talking about dying, and when you hear that hopelessness, it's not going to get any better. There's no point in living. You know, the world would be better off without me. Those are some of the scariest signs. Or not scariest, but at least things that can let us know that the person's really, really low.
Right. And if you spot those signs, you can, you know, either help them or you know, maybe show them the way to help. But I think my question is, because I've seen both on my Facebook, people that are very sad and it's so tragic. And just this morning, one of my friends, and she's in a situation where her mother passed away, obviously early in life and, you know, just recently. So she's coming at it from a very wounded personal space. But she had no empathy for a victim of suicide. And so to someone like that, how do you get that point across that this is not something that is an easy choice? Or, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like they're saying, well, he took the coward's way out. How do you converse with someone like that?
Well, you may or may not be able to help them, and you may or may not be able to help them see that, you know, it's a terrible choice that a person makes. Like, people don't kill themselves lightly.
Right.
Right.
You know, people who kill themselves or people who feel suicidal feel that there is no way out. And their brains are, you know, it's a brain disorder, depression, which is why we can help it with medicine, which is why we can help it with exercise, which is what, you know, we can help it from a lot of different angles, but it's an overwhelming hopelessness. And you feel like the world will be better off without you, and this is never going to get any better. And the depths of the emotional pain are just so bad that there's no way out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may not be able to help her.
Well, I do have since you said you may not be able to help her, and speaking of suicide, say you spot this in somebody where you recognize thoughts of suicidal upon them. How do you go about helping them or getting them help without them being affected, like upset with you or offended that you're offering this type of thing?
I always say I'd rather them be mad at me and alive than not mad at me and dead.
Yeah.
You know, as a psychologist, I have to make such hard choices. You know, not hard choices. It's not a hard choice. It's what I do. But it's difficult because people, you know, when they are angry and sad and feeling terrible, you know, it's a hard choice. But basically, you know, they need support. They need help. They need to be in a safe place. You know, when somebody is suicidal, you know, they really can't be, they shouldn't be alone,
mm-hmm.
because their judgment is really off.
Right.
You know, they're not thinking clearly. It like clouds your vision.
Yes.
Wow. Well, Dr.
Yeah,
Rice,
it's very tough.
How can people get in contact with you? Because I think you just gave us some really good information on things to look for. Because it's not always, you know, what it seems, where someone is sitting in a dark room with all the lights off and they're like, I want to die. It could be something less severe than that. What's some way that people can get in contact with you if they think that either they're having these thoughts or someone they know are having these thoughts?
Well, I will tell you how to get in touch with me. But if you really feel like somebody's suicidal, if you are feeling suicidal yourself, you've got to call. I don't know if there's a crisis center in Pensacola. In Tampa, we have one. And if you just dial 211, you can reach it. You go to the hospital. You go to the local emergency room. You call your physician. You know, don't wait and call me, because it's an emergency. If you want to kill yourself, it's an emergency. And you really need to take action, because you can't reverse that.
Right.
And what we'll do is we will put the National Suicide Prevention Hotline on our Facebook page. So that is an easily accessible phone number from anywhere. Just go to facebook.com/The Miguel Show. Dr. Rice, thank you so much for informing us of this very, very important information. We appreciate it.
Thank you.